Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone, to FMG Live. I'm your host, John A. Guffey. It's Super Bowl Sunday, 2015. It is the Seahawks versus the Patriots, and we're going to be talking about that and more tonight on our 2015 Super Bowl show. I wanted to welcome everyone again to FMG Live and at Blog Talk Radio. I want to thank everyone for following us on Twitter this week and for checking out the tweets that we've been sending out. Some encouraging verses and some encouraging words for everyone that we wanted to share. Also, information about our upcoming shows. And be sure to join us next week when we have Bill Hicks back with us from Bread of Life Ministries in Sanford, North Carolina. He's going to be sharing a word with us, and we're looking very forward to that. Tonight, I have on the phone with us Robert Fowler. Hello, Robert.
Hi, John.
Hey, great to have you with us tonight.
Great to be back, man. I'm truly blessed to be able to come back on. I appreciate you inviting me back.
No worries. It's always good to have you here, and especially on a night like tonight when we're talking about, you know, the big game of the football season. And this has been a very interesting football season, one that's been marred by some controversy. You know, we talked about we've seen in the news about the Patriots and the deflate gate, where Tom Brady and the Patriots were using footballs that were not inflated to NFL standards, and that makes for a softer ball, which makes it a little bit easier to handle and a little bit easier to catch. From a fan perspective and just from an integrity perspective, is this something that we should be worried about, or is this a normal practice that's being blown out of proportion? Because I played football in high school, and I remember there were things that we did that, you know, were, they weren't cheating, but they were things that we did everything we could to give ourselves an advantage over the other team. And if that meant, you know, putting blackout under your eyes and grabbing, you know, taping up your hands and putting a little extra sticky tape on your around your hands when you wrapped up, and, you know, lots of other things that we did just to try to, you know, gain even a step or a slight advantage over our opponent. Is this something that is really bad for the game, or is this something that's being blown out of proportion?
I think it's more or less being blown out of proportion. I think what it is, you know, the big game was coming up. They had 2 weeks. The media had 2 weeks, and they found something to go with and ran with it. Like you said, I agree, too. A lot of teams, even teams in the NFL down to the high schools, they just do everything they can to get the edge. And most of the time it's not cheating. It's just pushing the envelope, maybe putting a toe on the line, but not necessarily crossing it. I also think, too, you know, the referees had a chance to examine the balls before the game, and I think it's just blown out of proportion. I know, like we've talked last time I was on, about 24/7 media, and when you got 2 weeks to prepare for the game, the media finds something and they run with it. So I think it's more or less that sort of thing, that they just, it's blown out of proportion.
Well, and you make a good point. You know, we do live in that 24/7 media cycle where any kind of story that the media can come up with to fill that time, they're going to. And this is something, you know, if you don't play the game regularly, if you're not a huge fan of football and understand all the intricacies that go on the sidelines or with the players, this is something that could seem to be a big deal. And, you know, especially we're in an age, too, where there are so many journalists. Not all of them are dedicated sports journalists like they used to be. And so you have someone who might not know a whole lot about the game of football in there trying to create a story and create traction where there really isn't anything. But since they did create it, and it created a lot of bad press for the Patriots and for the game in general, do you think this is going to be a mental issue for Tom Brady as he comes into the game tonight?
Oh, I don't think it's going to be an issue at all. Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, they always study film, focus on what's going on inside the field, inside the locker rooms. He's great. They're great at taking all that, and a lot most athletes are great at taking what's been happening outside of the field and toning it out and focusing on the field issues. And plus, once that ball is snapped and you've got people gunning for you, they're not focused on anything that's happened outside of the game itself. I also do know, you know, the NFL does allow so much. I think it's 12.5 is the least on the pressure. And if the Patriots might have went slightly below that, I mean, I don't think it helped them defeat the Colts 44 to, the you know, just shut them out, just took them out completely. So I don't think the ball pressure had anything to do with that. You still got to tackle. You still got to make plays. And that didn't help them enough to get to where they are today. So it's just great coaching, great quarterback, and a good defense is what got them here. So.
Well, and you make a good point that it was, the game was not a close game. This was not a game that came down to the wire like the Seahawks-Packers game. This was a game that very much from the pretty much the beginning was, you know, the Patriots coming out and dominating the field. And speaking of that, you know, is that an indicator of what we're going to see tonight? Because you have a Patriots team that had a huge win in their division championship. The Seahawks, you know, had a tough win. Who's going to be more hungry coming in? Is it going to be kind of the rested, hey, we blew out the last guys, Patriots? Or is it going to be, you know, we've got to dig in and make sure that we don't make the same mistakes, we don't have four turnovers like Wilson did against the Packers? You know, which team has the edge there?
Well, I think in that sense, the Seattle Seahawks, knowing that they made too many mistakes and they have to fix those issues, that's going to be something they're going to focus on. But I think the hungrier team is probably the Patriots, because Tom Brady is 37. He knows the window is going to start closing eventually. He says he wants to play till he's 45 or in his 40s. So he still has time if he ends up doing that. But he knows that his career is coming down to the wire. And I think him and Belichick are the most hungriest of the two. You know, Seattle won last year, so I mean, sure, they want to be the first in a while to repeat as champs, but I think the hungrier team is a little more the Patriots.
So going back to talking about integrity in the game, and I know we're kind of bouncing back and forth, but I wanted to play off of what you were talking about with the previous games coming in. Going back to integrity in the game, do you think there's been some attack on the NFL this year? I mean, we have the price issue where it brought up the whole issue of domestic violence. We have the concussion story that just won't go away, and lawsuits against the NFL regarding concussions that, you know, broken out into lawsuits against college teams because of concussions, and people afraid to let their kids play peewee football because they're afraid their kid's going to get a concussion. We've got Deflategate. It seems like, and the stuff with the Washington Redskins, where they're going after the Redskins and won't give them their brand because they, are saying that it's racist and that, you know, people don't like it, when, you know, the polling data shows that people don't care. What do you think? Is this just a season that the NFL is going through, or is this something that is going to continue until there are fundamental changes to the game or the game's removed altogether?
I think it is the media kind of targeting the NFL. I also know that the players feel it's attacking them as well. I was watching the NFL Awards, Honors Awards last night, and Thomas Davis from the Panthers won Man of the Year in the NFL for what he does off the field. And he made that same comment that he and the rest of the players feel that it's an attack on the NFL. And you kind of get that a lot when there's someone that's on the top of the sports mountaintop, that people want to find any slightest thing and kind of tear it down. And but, you know, NFL is the largest in the country. It's the largest sport. So I do believe it is an attack. Some of it, though, is that the players need to, you know, keep an eye on themselves off the field so that they don't give the NFL that little black eye that people can pounce on. So that the NFL needs to work harder at and fixing. But, yeah, I believe for sure that it's just people outside of the NFL want to bring down the largest sport, because people do that with athletes as well. Once an athlete makes the slightest mistake, everybody, like Ray Rice, the Ray Rice issue and other issues that you just talked about, and even other sports, the greatest player, if anyone finds the slightest thing to get him, attack him about, they do so. So I believe that's what it is because they're the best sport in the country that people target them. They got the target on their back.
Well, you know, and I think so. I think you're right about that. You know, I love football, grew up loving football. It's a uniquely American sport. You know, they've tried to export it to other countries, and it just doesn't seem to work because it's an American sport. It's the sport that we play, and it's also a violent sport. It's the only sport that I can think of offhand that actually its purpose is to hit. Basketball can be rough. Hockey certainly can be rough. But those games are not designed to be violent. Football is. You're trained to hit, to tackle, to, you know, stiff arm an opponent, to gain that advantage and to get past them in a very physical manner. And I wonder if there aren't some people out there who just don't like that. I think that's a good outlet for young men, young testosterone-filled men who need an outlet for, you know, their talents and their abilities. It's a safe game. I mean, there are injuries that occur, but there's injuries that occur in every sport. And, you know, having played, I know that when I suited up, I felt very, very secure. And I was a high school kid, so of course I felt I was invulnerable. But when you suit up in the pads and the helmet and the full gear, it's pretty hard to hurt you. We would, you know, I can recall just the beatings that we would give to each other, and I use that word, but at the end of the day, we took our pads off, we might have had a couple of bruises, we took a shower, and we were good. You know, it wasn't something that was overly violent toward us and then overly hurtful toward us. But I think that there is a movement to try to take the game out of American culture, and I think that's sad. And I think you bring up a good point that individual players need to, you know, put themselves under control. This is a camera-driven society now. We are a surveillance society. If you do something in public, someone is going to film it. And in the old days, you know, I think about guys like Art Donovan, who used to go on the David Letterman show and talk about how brutal the game was and the things that they would do afterwards. And they could get away with it because there weren't cameras and reporters right in their face 24/7. And that's just the nature of the game. And if you're going to, you know, be a player making the kind of money that these players make, you know, even linemen make hundreds of thousands of dollars a year. certainly more than your, you know, John Q factory worker makes, you're going to be held to a standard. But let's get into the game tonight, and let's talk about the teams a little bit. Let's start out with the Patriots. So from what I've seen and what I've looked at, you're talking about an experienced Patriots team. You mentioned Tom Brady being an experienced quarterback coming in tonight. He's bringing it to try to get another ring. I think this will be his fourth if he wins tonight. Is that right? Tell us a little bit about the Patriots and what do we expect to see from them? What are their strengths?
Their strengths, definitely. I think if you compare the two teams, I think the Patriots have the better coach. I think they have the better quarterback, throwing-wise in the pocket. And I think they have the better tight end on either team. So if you look at those factors, I believe the Patriots have the chance to win. And I know with 2 weeks, Belichick will have a great game plan. In fact, I've also heard that he's got something up his sleeve tonight. So so long as it's not deflating balls, whatever his game plan is, I know it's going to be a trick in the scheme of the plan of a play, but they have said that he's got something up his sleeve tonight. So if you look at it on that sense, I think the Patriots have the advantage there, but I am worried about the Seattle defense. Seattle's defense is, of course, way better than the Patriots' defense, and they're more physical. And the Patriots don't play a physical type of defense like they're going to face tonight. So if I looked at that, and the running back, Marshawn Lynch, is a very physical back. So I think the most physical team is the Seattle Seahawks. We have to see how Belichick is going to counter that. I know they're going to probably throw some shorter passes, not try to go deep often. And LeGarrette Blount, the running back for the Patriots, has to have a good game in order for the Patriots to try to win this tonight. So
you're talking about the Seahawks offense, you know, on the run, and the Patriots not playing a tough physical defense. Do you think that's their biggest weakness? Do you think the Patriots, that's where they're most vulnerable?
Yeah, I think the physicality, I don't know how the Patriots are going to handle it, but I think that would be the concern going into this game, would be the physical defense. But with their corners, which, you know, of course they're physical corners, if you throw shorter passes and you have some elusive receivers to kind of shift and make a miss, then the Patriots definitely have a shot if they stick to that game plan and they can run the football some. But if they try to take too many deep shots down the field, I think the Seahawks would be on it. And, of course, Richard Sherman and Cam Chancellor and those guys have opportunities to make interceptions. So if the Patriots can – offensive line can hold the Seahawks defensive line, they've got a very good chance of winning this game. But if Tom Brady's getting hit too much, then Patriots, I don't see how they can win the game. But seeing last week and the week before with the Seahawks off defensive line, they really didn't get to the quarterbacks too much. So as long as the Patriots can hold them off on that defensive line, Bill Belichick will find the weaknesses and they'll exploit them.
So you've alluded to the Patriots' offensive line holding. What are some must-haves? What must the New England Patriots do in order to win this game?
Their defense tonight is going to have to step up, and they're going to have to contain and keep Russell Wilson in that pocket. As you saw against the Packers, for the most part, the Packers were doing so, and Russell Wilson threw four interceptions, I believe, against the
right.
Packers. So that's how you want him to beat you, by throwing it in the pocket. If you take too many bad angles trying to go directly for Russell Wilson, and you miss, he's going to get to the outside and he's going to cause problems. But if that defense, the linebackers and the defensive line can run towards but not to Russell Wilson and keep him in a box where he's just going to have to sit there and throw because he has nowhere to run, then the secondary is going to have a chance for the Patriots to make some plays. And especially with Darrell Revis, he'll get opportunities to make plays. And I think the Patriots do have a slightly better receiving core than the Seahawks. I really don't fear the Seahawks wide receivers. So Darrell Revis is going to be matched up one-on-one. It could be with Curse or Baldwin. But if the defense can step it up for the Patriots, then they'll win the game. That would be the key for me.
All right. So let's go to the Seahawks. Now, you talked about Russell Wilson being a threat on the ground, and he is a running quarterback. He is a scrambling quarterback. Some would say in the tradition of a Warren Moon or, he's not the stay-in-the-pocket kind of thrower. So what else, other than, Wilson running, you talked about Lynch, the running back who's definitely a dangerous threat. What are the strengths of the Seahawks? What is it that they bring to the table?
Like I alluded to earlier, their physicality against teams, the will they impose on their defense, hard hitters. Cam Chancellor is an athlete and can hit anybody, even Gronk. And I'm sure he'll probably be matched up one-on-one with Gronk a lot, Gronkowski for the Patriots. That's going to be their key. If it's not even – Russell Wilson doesn't even have to do a lot. If Marshawn Lynch is running and that defense is hitting Tom Brady, I think it's the Patriots will be overmatched if they can do that. I don't think they're going to out-scheme the Patriots. They're not flashy. Their offense isn't really that all intimidating, but that defense, if they are hitting Tom Brady and the Patriots are trying to throw deep, then Richard Sherman and Cam Chancellor and the rest of those guys are going to be intercepting passes and roughing some guys up, and I think that's their advantage, is the physical part of what they bring to the table.
Now, let's talk about vulnerabilities for the Seahawks. Where are they vulnerable?
They're definitely vulnerable, like I said, with shifty wide receivers who can make you miss, who are fast. If you're throwing short, if you throw some short in routes, maybe some little slants, they can catch the ball and make the Seahawks miss. I think also, like I said, Bill Belichick is the greatest at pulling up a game plan, and I think they're a little more vulnerable on that side. Pete Carroll is a good coach, don't get me wrong, but everything that Bill Belichick has done over the years, even when he was coaching defensive coordinator for the Giants when they won Super Bowls, he's just great at scheming up game plans, especially with the amount of time he's had. And those two factors, if you throw quick passes, and LeGarrette Blount, if he can get 80, 90 yards, that'll be enough to wear down the Seahawks defense and keep their offense off the field. So if that's their vulnerability, is the coaching, and if the Patriots can get those short passes, that'll be it.
What do you think about the Seahawks secondary? I read an article that was really praising them and pointing them out as a real strong point for the Seahawks, and something that the Patriots may have some trouble with. What do you think about their secondary, and how do you think it's going to stand up both in the long game, in the long throw game, and in the short throw game?
In the long game, they've got it. They've Earl Thomas and Cam Chancellor and Richard Sherman, they work well together. They communicate well back there. and they can hit you hard and make you think about it the rest of the game. So they are phenomenal. You can't argue they're the best in the NFL, that secondary. Short game, I've seen a few times this year where Richard Sherman would be getting lit up, torched by the Chargers, because they went to the short passing game, and that's their weakness. If you can get it quick to a speedy receiver who can catch it, and they have the opportunity to make a miss, and they can make plays. So the short game, I would say, is not great for them. But if you continue to throw it deep down the field, that's where they've got you beat, because they communicate so well back there.
Good deal, good deal. So it seems like we have a game where we're going to see the Patriots trying to chew up the field with short passes to their tight end, matched by some short runs to top it off and just eat up yardage till they can get into the end zone, versus a Seahawks team that's going to rely on the run, that's going to pound you up front, open up holes for Lynch, and let him go to work. So here comes the big question, Robert. Who do you think is going to win tonight's game?
Well, I got twofold here. I'm hoping the Patriots pull this thing out, but I'm thinking because of the physicality of the Seahawks defense, I think that they're going to win this game. But if the Patriots can keep Tom Brady clean, they've got that shot. So the score I'm looking at would be 24-21 Patriots, if they can keep Tom Brady clean. I'm just like I said, I think the Seahawks might pull out another one like they did last year against the Broncos. They were too physical, and that's the thing I'm worried about. So in that case, I would switch the scores and say 24-21 Seahawks if they're able to get physical with their defense.
All right, sounds good. Well, folks, I'm going to actually go on a limb, and Robert, I'm going to challenge you here. I'm going to go with the Seahawks. And I'm actually going to say the Seahawks win it by 2 touchdowns. I think they're going to, you know, dominate on the ground. I think the Patriots are going to come in and not be prepared for the kind of rough and tumble game that the Seahawks are going to bring to them. I think you got a Seahawks team who wants to prove something after the Packers, win. A lot of people in the media saying, "Hey, the Seahawks shouldn't even be here." They want that repeat. I think they're going to go in and get it from Tom Brady and the Patriots tonight. You're right. If the Patriots can shut down Lynch and can throw the ball effectively, they're going to be a real threat, and they can certainly pull out a win. I don't think that it's going to be a dominating game for them, even if they do win. But I think my prediction is going to be Seahawks 28-14, and we'll check it out and see what happens.
I was going to say, all right, John, sounds like you've got a good plan. We'll see what happens tonight.
Well, you know, I'm not. Fortunately, the biggest thing that I'll bet on that is a slice of pizza. So I'm not too worried, even if I lose. nobody in Vegas is going to come looking for me if the Seahawks don't pull it out. But Robert, I want to thank you again for coming out and joining us on tonight's Super Bowl show. And folks, looking forward to the upcoming shows that we have for FMG Live. Next week, we're going to be joined by Bill Hicks, and we've got an exciting lineup coming up over the next couple of months. You don't want to miss it. And once again, I want to thank everyone for joining us here on FMG Live. I'm your host, John A. Geffey.